the man who knows the answers to the questions about the natural world, our host for Backyard Almanac, for lo these many years, naturalist, author, and educator, Larry Weber. Good morning, sunshine.
Yeah, good morning, Lisa. You have a wonderful introduction there, and I like your reference to summer continuing. Helen Hunt Jackson, who wrote the poem of October's Bright Blue Weather, lived way back in the 1800s. She died 130 years ago. Yet, nevertheless, I think she must have had the October of 2015 in mind when she wrote it, because we have certainly seen plenty of October's bright blue weather this month. Today's date is the 23rd. 1 week from today, we will be at the end of the month. But boy, the month has been very bright. We have had a lot of sunlight. We have a lot of warm temperatures. The average temperature for the month so far is more or less 4 degrees above normal. That will change now in the next week. But the big statistic that I'm concerned about is the dryness. We are way below normal for the month. We are about 1 3/4 inches below normal. Now, that will change today. We are getting the rain that was forecasted. It has just started at my place and will continue to spread east, and I expect we'll see rain for much of the day today. How much of that will continue into next week, we will just have to see. But it sounds like in the forecast, this is not the only one. I believe that the big leaf drop that I talked about last time, I believe it happened during this past week. This is not exactly accurate, but it's the dates that I noticed it at my place was pretty much from the 12th to the 19th during that 7-day period. That is when the leaves really fell down in big numbers. Thanks a great deal to wind, the leaves fell down. That was followed immediately, October 20, as I call the first day of Autwin. Now, that term is my own term and doesn't really have a definition beyond what I give it. And it's very hard to define the beginning of Autwin. And I'm sure there are places that don't quite see it, but I call it the time from which the leaves fall off the trees before the snow covers the ground. And it's really a remarkable time. Yesterday, I took a most wonderful walk in the woods, and I think walking in the woods at this time is just delightful. And you can see so much. The leaves are off the trees, and you start to see things that were present the whole summer, but never seen much by because of the leaves. A good example are the mosses and the club mosses and the evergreen ferns and lichens and such that are out in the woods, and there's a great deal of that. Now, there are still plenty of trees that still hold the leaves, and if you drive around Duluth, you'll notice it. I especially see it in two kinds, and that is the weeping willows and the silver maples. They're in no particular hurry to drop their leaves. In many years, I've seen them linger way into November. But for the most part, we've had the big leaf drop happen. Other things of note, if you look out into the swamps, now we don't have to even go beyond the city limits in many cases to do that. But if you go out into the swamps and bogs and marshes that are abundant in the region, you'll see the tamaracks. This is tamarack time. It's just phenomenal. Boy, as soon as the deciduous trees pass on, the tamaracks step up to take the place, and we don't even remember the deciduous leaf color anymore when we see the tamaracks. It's hard to drive in almost any direction in our area without going by swamps and marshes and so forth that are just filled with tamaracks, and they're so bright, yellow, gold, even an orangish color. And boy, they are just spectacular. They are the only conifer we have that drops all of its needles at one time. Now, conifers do drop their needles, but they don't drop them all at one time. And they go through the winter bare, as is the deciduous trees, but not without quite a beautiful show. Other things of note, yes, there's still a lot of migration going on. Hawk Ridge has been having some good days thanks to the winds. Red-tail hawks, bald eagles, and sharp-shinned hawks are the ones that come across the most. But there's also been golden eagles, and there's also been goshawks, rough-leg hawks, all being coming across as well, and northern harriers. So plenty still going on there. We tend to think of once the September passes that we don't see much there, but there's still plenty going on at Hawk Ridge. Other migrants, I've been noticing a lot of the members of the sparrows. The most common example of that is, of course, the grayish juncos. I was getting a flock of juncos at my bird feeder every day. Now, yesterday, they did not show up. And my take on that was, hey, we have some early migrants, and that they moved on during the night. Clear nights are good for migration, and, yeah, the juncos moved on. Many other juncos are still here, as is tree sparrows. I've been seeing those along the roadside almost every day now. A few other sparrows, white-throat sparrows, white-crowned sparrows are around. And then there are the Lapland longspurs, and the early snow buntings are starting to show up. So, yes, for plenty of migration going on, many other birds that we associate with winter, such as pine grosbeak and red poles, are starting to show up as well. In the world of mammals, I have been going out every day looking to see if the chipmunks, the local chipmunks, are still active, and they are still gathering up food, still going on, but the numbers are down. I think what's going on there, some are starting to go off to sleep, some are feeling like they have enough stashed already, they don't need to get any more. Oh, the other thing I've been going out to see is at dusk every night, I go out to see the flight of bats. Our bats that live around here are insect eaters, and of course, when it gets late in the season like this, there are not a lot of insects, so they pretty much take off. Most of them are migrants. There are some, however, such as the big brown bat, which I've been seeing, that spend the winter in some kind of shelter. If they can find a building to go into, that's just fine. If they can find a cave to go into, that's just fine. But as of right now, I'm still seeing them out there feeding. Well, what are they feeding on? It turns out there are a few active insects that use this time of year to be their time of maturity. The two that really stand out, one is a species of fly, a crane fly, that go through a flight. This is an interesting thing to see at dusk. They go through a flight where it looks like an up-and-down type of almost elliptical flight. And those are males, and they're trying to get the position from each other for the females. It kind of reminds me when I watch it. It's hard to make comparison, but it kind of reminds me of roller derby, the way they go around and kind of jockey each other just to get the position. The other one that's out is just a phenomenal insect. That's what I call the World Series moth. There are a couple species of late-season moth that use this time for their maturity, and this is when they find each other and mate way late into October, often into the first week of November. And like many, I've been inside lately following the baseball playoffs and, of course, having lights on, and the lights on attracts them. And last night, as an example, I had about five of them looking over my shoulder from the window on the outside, and that's not unusual. These 40-degree, 30-degree days are just wonderful for them. And anyway, that's the kind of stuff that the bats are still finding. During the daytime recently, I have seen a few butterflies still out. Four kinds of butterflies I saw this past few days, and every one of them is a kind of butterfly that hibernates. Milbert tortoiseshell, Compton tortoiseshell, Morning Cloak, and Red Admiral. They're all ones that will hibernate here. They're not going to go away. They'll stay around. On the other hand, yesterday I saw a green darner dragonfly. That's a migratory, and boy, it's hanging around pretty late, and it still hasn't migrated. So plenty still going on in the world of insects. As far as the wildflowers go, you know, one thing we have not had so far in this month is some really cold weather. Since we last spoke, we had officially low 20s twice, and that did zap a lot of the wildflowers that are still out there. But nevertheless, there are things like asters, and there are things like a few sunflowers, and there are things like yarrow that are still out there, still in bloom, and I saw them as recently as yesterday. That's going to change now if we continue to get cold weather. And as far and other things of note, I hope you've been noticing lately the moon phase. We are in now the waxing gibbous phase. It's getting larger. We will have a full moon this next week on the 27th. And we are having just a spectacular sighting of the planet early morning. Those who get up early enough and take a look in the eastern sky see the very bright Venus. Well, right below it is Jupiter and Mars, and so we're getting quite a spectacle. If you are at the right spot and you can see way down by the horizon, you can even be able to see Mercury. So, yeah, Lisa, we are going into a little bit of a changing pattern here, but no complaints from us. Okay? Take care.
Thank you, Larry. Larry Weber this morning. He's an author, naturalist, educator, and our host for Backyard Almanac every Friday right here on Northland Morning.